All right. Hello, and welcome to the Tabletop RFI podcast, episode 4, but probably like episode 1 relaunch.
seamlessly transitioned into the next episode. This has been the plan all along.
This was our plan all along. We actually had to wait until we created a virus that spread throughout the world first, so that we could come to a point where this was possible. But we're happy to report that it worked.
All according to plan.
So you probably remember last time's episode. That was a long time ago, but I'm sure you remember it.
Memorized, even.
Yeah. And it was all about the worst alliances ever. But we realized that it's been so long that actually some alliances disbanded, and other ones like Non Grata came back from the dead, so we had to change the bracket.
Little rework. Rigging, if you will.
Yeah, a little bit of rigging, and now we have a new bracket, and so we're going to start with it today. We're going to try and cover 8 of these, essentially 8 of the rounds, so that would be from Fark and their matchup against NATO, all the way down to Non Grata and Ordo Cyberneticus.
The real matchup.
So I just kind of want to start by looking at the bracket in general. And I'm just wondering if there's anybody that you think are like favorites to win at this point, Loston.
Well, let's see. Overall, I mean, I don't know. Like, it's to be fair, like, I haven't really actually studied the bracket yet. You'd think I would have done that before we hit record, but why would I do that? Preparation? I mean,
here in the RFI podcast, we're raw.
Yeah, pretty much. A little too, and it's unacceptable. I don't know, I mean, like, originally my thought was going to be Enlon, but that's probably a personal bias, and they're also no longer on the bracket anymore.
They were so bad they got removed, yeah, so in a way...
Pretty much.
In a way, Enlon has won by falling below the membership threshold requirements.
They're no longer what goons would consider an alliance, so that's where we draw the line.
So with that in mind, just to remind people, we don't have Pacifica or Polaris on this list because we think they've done things. They've had high points. They haven't had low points low enough to be on this list.
And honestly, even with the both of them, they did have significant low points. They weren't like catastrophically low, obviously, but their lows were so significant, and they managed to climb out of them to get so much higher that like the range they have covered it outdoes just about every alliance that has existed. Not just exist today.
Yeah, and I mean, that could also be said for some of the people on this bracket, but they've never had highs as high as either of those alliances.
Right.
So, I mean, I have a couple favorites to pull out to the end. You know, we'll see what happens. But right now, just off instincts, I think that the Order of the Black Rose might be one of the best, worst alliances in the whole group.
That is a fair pick.
For people who don't know, they're like an RP-centric alliance that has neutral politics, and they have LOA with Sparta?
Yeah, I think they had a few of those. I don't know how many of those AAs they had.
A League of Amicability or something?
Yeah, it's a Treaty of Friendship, but with a different name. I remember signing those back in the day.
Brings a tear to your heart.
It does. Pax Corvus, shout out to you.
So is there anybody that you think is particularly likely to come out on top or on the bottom, I guess?
I don't know. Like, I feel as though as time has gone on, I haven't been thinking about the bracket for, you know, a year, that a lot of my I have to retread ground that I had on certain A's. And on certain A's like Sparta, right? I had a lower opinion of them, but lately it's starting to come back around, much like Sparta. So that'll probably affect things as I'm like, well, they are doing better in this category. So right now, they may not be the worst alliance ever.
I completely agree. And I think that we should probably just jump right in. So, as you guys all know, this bracket is all about finding out who the very worst alliance is in Cyber Nations, who's currently still around. And our first matchup is between Fark, which is a large, at least large today, Aqua Alliance, heading up against NATO, the second biggest blue alliance. So for people who don't know, FARC comes from the FARC or Farkistan comes from FARC.com. That is their origin story, so to speak. And NATO, I have no idea where they came from, but they have the least creative name in all of Cybernation, so they have that going for them.
Kudos to them to having claimed it, though.
That's true. Being able to actually have the name is probably half the battle. So, who are you thinking, just gut instinct right now, before we get into the nitty-gritty details?
I'm thinking a NATO advance. But I'm not married to the idea, so we'll have to hash that out. You?
I actually think it might be it might be a FARC advance. And the reason is because of I really feel like in general, FARC has this certain personality that I think is quite good, really.
Okay.
But it's just kind of been too long and it should be gone. Whereas I think with NATO, like, I didn't even notice that they existed. So
is that a plus, though? Is that a positive thing?
Yeah, we're gonna have to debate a little bit. So why I think FARC should advance.
Okay. Hit me.
Reason one. Look at their political alignment. FARC has been allied to essentially the polar sphere since 2012, and they have not moved from that position in any significant way. They had treaties here and there, but they only signed treaties with alliances that were failing or going to fail. Like Anarchy Inc.
Right.
Who, if they were around today, they would be a surefire winner of this whole thing.
Yeah, or their successor state, their successor predecessor state, Valhalla.
Yeah, one or the other. And honestly, they've been dead, but they haven't been quiet, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I get you.
So they've still been murmuring here, and occasionally they've been, you know, trying to rustle up some things behind the scenes. But to me, that actually is an indication of a symptomatic problem of not knowing when to just retire.
Sure.
So that's kind of my thoughts on why FARC should advance. What do you think about NATO?
So when I think of NATO, I don't think of much. I think of an alliance that, this actually could very well just be old information on my part. Maybe I should check myself before I wreck myself. But I think of an alliance that firmly lodged itself into a sphere, much like FARC did. However, FARC did it, they joined Dos Equis, right? So before Dos Equis was a polar thing, it was its own thing. And it was the big scary block at the time, when they formed. They had the largest AAs in it, everybody was afraid of them. And then the first war happened against them, and they folded like a deck of cards. Or a house of cards, a deck of cards. So that, not a great endorsement of FARC. However, at least FARC was doing something at the time.
That's true. And actually, that sphere was named after FARC. It was the Bureau Sphere.
Exactly, the Bureau Sphere, something-something Bureau Reviews. So FARC does have that rich history there. Then, yes, once Polar joined Dos Equis and kind of co-opted it into just being their sphere, that is when FARC really just kind of took a back seat. They no longer were leading a sphere, they were just following as part of a sphere, to the point that they're at today where they couldn't even post DOW for themselves without having to be told that they had already declared a war by the alliance they declared on, like, 2 days later. So
that's true, and that kind of humiliation, in my opinion, matters a little bit, doesn't it?
I think it does. I would agree to that. I just realized we're talking about FARC and not NATO. But I think that's important.
Yep.
Is what is there to talk about for NATO? They had a very, just looking here at their wiki quickly, they participated in a lot of early wars.
I mean, the history of NATO is being strapped to the original coalition, right? In a lot of ways, of the Pacifican side of things.
Exactly. They lodged themselves into that Pacifican sphere. They followed them in defeat and in victory. Although, actually, coincidentally, it looks like they eventually ended up defeated in Disorder War. I don't even remember NATO being in that war. Not going to lie.
Seems like they were probably...
How did they get into that war?
In that R&R front.
Oh, I'm looking at Disorder War. There we go. There's my problem. I was confusing Disorder with Doom War, and I'm like, that didn't happen. Okay. So the Ricky isn't even updated through the last war that actually happened. Big war. So... Oh, that's what I get for not reading. They haven't really... When I think of NATO, I don't think of an alliance that has ever led, and that's probably because they've never been a leader since I've been in Cyber Nations, circa 2010.
And to be fair, I think you're pretty right there. When I'm thinking now about NATO, since you helped so nicely in destroying FARC a little bit more in my own estimations, I will help you with NATO. I remember messaging NATO about Discord 2 years ago, 3 years ago, maybe. And I was like, hey, are you guys on Discord? And they said, no, we're going to wait that one out.
Playing the long game.
And I also remember that it took them 3 years to mask me on their forums. And that was back in like 2015.
That sounds like a NATO thing. They're kind of just here. I guess I could do what I did last time and look at their, because this is like the true barometer, right? How well did they do in Disorder War? Because that's the line, right? Or was it Disorder War? Maybe it was Doom War, actually.
I mean, you said Doom before.
Well, so there's specifically a stat list that I would confer to when I was talking about like court. It would have been Doom War, yes. So let's see here. Let's pull this up. Can't remember if it was the Hershey NASCAR stats or if it was the Gopher Bashi stats. So we'll pull up both of those. See which looks better. Alright, I already like the RI5 ones better. So let's go all the way to the last page. Let's check out the finals here. Let's see here. NATO. NATO looks like they fought exactly one AA, and that was Polar. And in it, they did... Oh no, I lost them. Here we go. So yeah, they only fought Polar. They took 1.9 million damage, and they dealt 2.3 million damage. Based off of 576 total wars. That's defending and aggressing. So that's not bad. That put them in 19th of alliances at the time. Let's take a look at FARC.
All right.
FARC took 6.1 million and inflicted 5 based on 852 wars. They were on different sides of that war. Who was FARC fighting? So NATO fought only Polar. And FARC was fighting ODN, DT, Nordreich, Gloth, Doom Squad, DT Probes, World Freedom Federation, the International, and Reavers. So that's a bit of a list.
That's true. And FARC have been known to be militarily capable.
Yes. This last war not necessarily withstanding. Referring to the Polar Court War.
So final thoughts on who you think should advance?
I'm still leaning towards NATO. I think FARC, they used to lead a sphere. They fell in that time, but I don't think NATO could ever be having considered running their own sphere in the same way. Now that could just be my ignorance of, you know, the 2006 politics that I missed out on. But I remember FARC being a big deal. And by that time, I don't remember NATO having ever been a big deal. And then NATO continued, like you said, they were inactive. They don't really participate in global politics. They're practically neutral, just with military treaties that they sometimes activate. Whereas FARC is still a follower alliance. They followed Polar with their war against Court. I believe FARC participated in defending against Umbrella when MHA was hit. Though that might be your department.
Yeah, and I mean, I think I'm going to agree. I think NATO is going to move forward. You've convinced me.
Excellent.
So with that in mind, I think NATO as this inactive shell of an alliance who's basically done very little but following is definitely moving on to round two. And that brings us up to our next round, which is between Sparta and ODN.
Strong.
So for people who don't know, I am allied to Orange Defense Network, so I'm going to probably be a little nicer to them.
Weak.
And Loesten recently has taken affection to Sparta, so you know maybe he'll be nicer to them.
Oh, don't count on it.
So why will Sparta advance in this bracket, you're wondering? The answer is because Sparta is the only alliance to completely alienate everyone in their own block and be canceled on them and then be rolled by them.
It was truly an impressive feat. That block, assuming we're talking about the same event, was Dos Equis with FARC.
Yep.
They helped form Dos Equis. They were one of those very large, very scary, very intimidating alliances. Argent actually fought them. I was not in Argent at the time. I was in State of Nirvana. And when we OA'd off of Argent's OA onto Sparta. And when I said they folded like a house of cards, I meant it. I received no pushback. I think one guy nuked me on the last day of fighting, and that was all the damage I personally took. It was sad, to say the least. Now, I mean, you know, they were dogpiled, yes, but for an alliance called Sparta, they really put up no defense. And I think even in post, they've acknowledged that that war was a huge failure on their part, and it did spurn some changes. But were they good changes?
That's a question, right? Because they never really came back to that position ever again.
Right. I think the closest Sparta got was during their time with MI6 and TOP, and I believe Polar as well, but I'm not sure, when they were part of this sort of cabal of alliances that were going to take over the new hegemony, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And it completely collapsed under them. Polar dropped the ball, TOP dropped the ball, Sparta dropped the ball, MI6 was MI6.
True.
I mean, I could go on. I could give you a dozen examples of just time Sparta was bad, but I don't think people want to hear my recollections of every time I've fought with or against them.
More recently, we can think of the DEFCON 1 situation. But that could also be thought of as a good thing for Sparta. I think it really depends on your perspective on Alexandra Omegas, right?
Right.
So on the one hand, he represented the kind of Spartan who did want to always fight to the end and so on, right?
Sure.
So his departure could be the departure of Sparta's fighting spirit. However, he is also kind of a symbol of the incompetence, in a way,
sure,
of Sparta. So I think that whole situation could be kind of taken as net neutral.
Okay.
As for generally more recent history, we just haven't seen much of Sparta.
Right, after the whole collapse of their collusion with TOP and MI6, or really just the collapse of TOP and MI6, they had nothing left after that.
I mean, in MI6's last war, I remember that there was this tension between Sparta, MI6, and VE. It was all about whether Sparta could leverage VE into this war.
Yes.
And I remember thinking that it was a very pathetic situation. I remember being very much of the mind that Sparta had done their last act by doing that kind of foreign affairs.
Check me if I'm wrong here, but if I recalled correctly, the way that whole tension ended was Sparta canceled on VE and then got rolled by Oculus.
Yep.
Okay, yeah.
That's how I remember it, at least.
That was the, I remember that playing out of the OWF where they announced the cancellation, and everybody was like, that was the last thing you had shielding you from making this bad situation worse. And then it got worse.
And, you know, they canceled it because VE wasn't going to help them. But VE was already helping them in a way.
Right, by holding back certain things.
So what about ODN?
I mean, I'll allow you, the ODN expert, to speak on that one until I interject.
So ODN historically was known as the Optional Defense Network, known historically for making a treaty that wasn't optional with their democracy. They are one of the two democracies in cybernations that are functioning, and they have essentially have had one leader for most of that time, especially since we've been playing, and that's Osraven. So Osraven very much is like a cultural texture to the whole alliance in a way.
And it's an association that has always been positive, correct?
It's an association that would be positive with some people, but I think more often than not, it would be considered a negative association if we look to the Open World Forum, for example.
Sure. Okay.
Do you have any idea why, Loston?
Do I have any idea? You know, I've only dealt with Osraven once. I can't say it was a exciting experience. So, but I mean, that was also revolving around Umbrella. So, you know, I'm not one to speak to the Osraven.
Okay.
Mythos. But, I'm sure if we talked to, what was his name? Shattenman? He might have a take or two.
I'm sure he would. And I also think, in general, Osraven is a very big personality, so a lot of people do not work well with him. If I think about CNG internally, I've been in that group internally for a long time, and a lot of conflict centered on disagreements between, honestly, between ODN and other alliances.
Right.
And that may have culminated in a lot of different things over the years. I wouldn't know all of the details. But I know that that has colored some of ODN's reputation as being very much interested in peacekeeping and status quo. That's one of the things Non Grata most hates them for.
Right.
As we've recently kind of had in history, at least.
was on the table.
But ODN did work away from that optional defense network kind of tag. Nobody really calls them that anymore.
Well, that's because nobody talks about them anymore.
Oof.
Well, I mean, if you spend so much time being the status quo alliance, then eventually people will just forget you're there.
Well, I mean, isn't that true in both cases, really? People haven't really talked about Sparta or ODN until very recently. Because there's simply not much going on with them.
While true, so with regards to ODN, though, what is the discussion about ODN recently?
I guess the only one is related to a rating.
Right. And what's the conversation been about with Sparta? Crickets, but more so that they're active again. They're doing things now. That's not necessarily like a ringing endorsement, you know. Oh, they're active and doing things, and by doing things, I mean they've just, kind of tentacled out their FA a little bit. I think they're actually, if you look at aid slot usage, which is by far, you know, the only metric that matters, they're one of the best alliances right now. So that's something. Like they have something going on internally. They're doing things externally. I think that's good. However, when you're at that rock bottom status of alliance with no real push to do anything because there's no leadership that's doing it. For instance, I had a conversation the other day with, I think it was Kanik, about Sparta. And I had to ask who's actually in charge over there. And when he said the names, I still can't remember them. And my reaction was, who? So that's not a great endorsement, because at least with like ODN, right? If you say Osraven, I know who that is. I've talked to them before. Granted, that comes with its own stigmas of, you know, it's Osraven, but.
But you also know exactly who you need to work with.
Exactly. So yeah, no, like I think there's different reasons to more recently acknowledge them, but similar-ish reasons. Actually, no, you can't even say similar reasons for them to have been kind of forgotten. ODN was forgotten simply because they had no real actual impact on moving. They had impact on things not moving. Whereas Sparta flew so close to the sun that they had nothing left after they burned. Well, I think they have, like, a few treaties, but enough that nobody wanted to go through the political issues of raiding them, but not enough that I think if somebody really wanted to, it would stop them. At least until recently, now that they've kind of reached out again.
So, who gets your vote to move forward?
Because
for me, I'm still thinking Sparta.
I agree, actually. I will say Sparta. I think ODN's highs that I don't remember existing, but maybe they did, versus where they currently are. I mean, again, like, you don't really consider in any of your calculus these days, where does ODN sit? But at the same time, ODN is there.
I would say ODN's highs have been in the, you know, in the MK hegemony and then the follow-up Pacifican one.
Sure.
They were very much one of the only alliances, one of the only alliances and groups, really, to transition through the power of those without being in a bad situation, right?
Well, I mean, you could talk about how that's also a negative, the sort of swinging with the pendulum, not always being a good thing, but...
But ultimately, I think we agree that swinging on the pendulum is better than not.
Well, exactly, yeah, then falling off with the pendulum when it breaks. And that's the thing, yeah. Sparta had a very high, but it was a paper tiger high. When they fell hard. It was just always downhill. They were a complete disaster during Equilibrium War to work with. They did decently in, I believe it was Disorder War, which is why they were kind of on this... They were on an upward swing, but then the powers that be that were giving them that swing, because it wasn't they themselves, disappeared and evaporated. So because of that, they had nothing to go with, and then they collapsed even further and sunk until the point where people thought they actually had disbanded. They didn't, but people thought they had. And only now are they starting to break that mold, and I think that to me screams one of the worst alliances currently existing.
All right, so without further ado, it's time for us to move into part 3 and 4, right? Kashmir versus my home, Gaido. And I'm gonna just drop it as it is. I think Kashmir's worse.
Okay.
I think it's pretty clear cut because Kashmir is like a fan knockoff.
You know, like, I never thought of it
kind
that
of
way,
a,
but I like it.
A worse version of fan, and Gaido is the oldest alliance in the game. One of the sole functioning, interestingly designed alliances. Top 10, right? Sanctioned alliance.
For now.
For now. And historically, it's had bad times, right? It won worst alliance ever. Way back in the day. But I think from that low point, Gaido has generally been regarded as a bunch of people with red tape. And certainly a butt of many jokes about democracy, even in our own block.
I have never made one of those.
I'm sure you haven't.
Never once.
But I will say that Gato has always had a diverse portfolio, just in general. Like, as time has gone on, they've been members of a whole variety of blocks. They've been winners in wars, losers in wars, and so on. And I think there's some character there that is, at least in my opinion, a bit more three-dimensional than what I would consider the flat affect of Kashmir.
Okay.
What do you think?
So, well, I mean, Kashmir's first, so I'll start with Kashmir. Now, I can't remember if we covered them last time or not, but I know my thoughts with Kashmir were they're very much an alliance that, at least historically, was interested in doing things with people who were interested in doing things, which is, that's good. However, their scope was always very small, which made sense given their lack of clout and their size. As time's gone on, their relative size has grown, but their politics have not. Right now, I think their biggest claim to fame is their treaty with Polar. That didn't necessarily work out the way they had hoped. For instance, with the Cobra FTW war that just occurred. I think the best way to describe Kashmir is just they're very mediocre. I can't think of their high. At the same time, I don't know that I can really pin them as having a low. They seem to just very consistently held the line of they exist. They're part of what I call the rabble sphere. So they're, you know, rabbling. And that's about it. They're the closest to a regular alliance of the alliances they affiliate with, but they still aren't quite there.
And I will say, I've not really had any problems working with Kashmir as an alliance. I think that their leadership is okay. I've never had issues talking to Lex. I think he's pretty straightforward. I just don't think that conceptually the alliance has anything going for it.
I could go for that. As for Gato, the Gato, if you will, they are an old alliance, lots of history, good and bad.
The oldest.
Yes, the oldest alliance, thank you. I think you covered a lot of like the major points, right? Like they have the democracy aspect, which is, in this day and age, a questionable method of governance. It's admirable that Gato actually, like, does it. I think a decent amount of the memes are well-deserved. You know, can't quite get into all that, but I'm actually failing to remember Gato's where they've been. I mean, I can think of like where CNG was, so I can think of, so like they were on the MK side of EQ. I'm guessing they would have, CNG would have been rolling with MK before that as well, so that's a thing.
Yep, that's true.
I don't know like how doctrinally that worked, but
the leadership of the time was very was Tim Lee and Magic Ninja and these types, and they were actually rigging elections internally at the time. So that's very much
how
that happened
about Magic Ninja. that loses Gato some points right there.
You know, the system works. They got rid of him. The trials ejected these people.
Oh yeah, okay. I'm having flashbacks to why I remember Gato from EQ. Okay, I remember Magic Ninja posting. That was a thing. So, and I mean, then out of that, what CNG was... CNG sided with MK, then swung to... and sided with MK and got rolled, and then swung to Pacifica and got rolled. And then... I should know this. Why don't I know this? Where did they sit during Doom War?
Doom War?
Yeah. And who did they fight?
Gato was obviously on the side of the Hershey Coalition.
Okay. Let's see here. Oh, you're one of these wikis that breaks things into separate pages.
The best kind. Let me think. Who is Gato up against?
That would have been... Ooh, this is quite the breakdown you've got going on here. Doom War, you hit Natick. We were on the same front?
TIL. I mean, I wasn't in Gato at the time. I actually missed the Doom War very randomly and very unlikely. Like, the moment that I went inactive, a global war finally started. And so I just missed it.
That's what you get. You were holding it back.
I guess.
Okay, so they hit Invicta. So my guess is that they were spending most of their time fighting Invicta. And I think I remember this. I think Gato hitting Natick was just so that there could be OAs.
I mean, that's a pretty common coalition tactic.
Right. Well, yeah, I was more so saying, like, why I don't remember us fighting the same target. Then Gato did participate in the war for Maroon Dominance. Also hitting Natick.
In support of TLR.
Yes.
And generally speaking, Gato has also been involved in a lot of recent conflict, just like Kashmir, I suppose. Like, all the Brown stuff is both Kashmir and Gato stuff, and they've worked together against a variety of alliances and so on, such as Monsters, Inc.
Sure. Monsters, Inc., thank you. Yeah, I mean, I guess at the end of the day, I mean... Gato, I think, just has... I mean, they have the advantage in having a longer history. They've swung a lot more. They've participated more. I don't know how much they led. But by the same token, I don't think Kashmir has ever really been an alliance that has led something other than perhaps their kind of nomadic sphere. But even that, I don't think has ever been utilized in a particularly effective way. So I think I'm going to just agree with you that the advancer there is Kashmir, but not necessarily due to any major flaw of their own.
Hooray! Gato isn't the worst alliance ever.
Currently existing.
So that brings us to number four. Haven. Versus Invicta. What's your very first take in a short way?
You don't like my long rambles?
I do, I just don't like how long our podcast is becoming.
Well, I mean, maybe we should cut it off at four then.
Yeah, that's true. We'll probably just stick to four. Sorry we lied to you at the beginning.
It's all my fault. So with regards to Haven... they're an alliance that exists.
They're kind of a newborn.
The only major contribution I can think of that they've ever had was making a bad FA move.
Ouch.
Not great. Any thoughts on Haven for you?
I remember when we talked about Haven last time, there was this discussion of potential, right? Like,
sure.
They were so young, they could still become something else. But since then, I feel like every day that window closes.
Just very, like, I think within the last week, I've seen them actually starting to use their Discord server. So that's a thing.
On the other hand, Invicta is way past its prime. I think it's probably its peak in global relevance in recent history was when Pacifica... rolled King Williams Invicta.
I don't even know that that was a high point in relevance. I think that was almost a low point.
No, no, I mean a high point in people talking about them.
Oh, okay, sure. Yeah, I'll give them
like
that.
Haven, nobody's ever talked about Haven before.
Very true.
When it comes to Invicta, at least people were talking about Invicta.
Very true.
And before that, like long before that, right? And Dumour Invicta did pretty well, right?
I mean, Invicta was like the central piece of that. They held their own in a way that was completely unexpected and complicated the Doom war like effort. Invicta was single-handedly holding the line and preventing the war from expanding. And it wasn't until that one SNX person made the war happen that it did. But I mean, as I recall, out of Doom War, Invicta was given mad props because of how well they did. In fact, you know, whip out my stats here. I believe they actually maintained a 1-1 despite being one of the alliances that was hardest hit.
They were completely dogpiled, I believe, right?
Not at first, but eventually they were. So let's see, who did they fight? Go scroll up to the blue.
I know they fought Atlas.
Doom Squad, Pacifica, Atlas, Kashmir, and the Java House League.
So like three times as many people at least.
And they alliance-wise, for total damage, they were 15th. They inflicted more than they took. Which, as a defender, is easy to do, but, like, let's look at the other alliances that did that at the time, right, that inflicted more than they took. You have MI6, who were intentionally using a strategy of deleting their infra after buying nukes so that nothing could be destroyed, and they barely pushed it over 1-1. In fact, they had the same, they had a similar ratio as Invicta, and Invicta was at 2.5 mil taken, 2.7 mil inflicted. MI6 was at 3.5 mil taken, and 3.9 mil inflicted. Apparently, I don't know how to do math. That was quite I think I was looking at the wrong one. That's a difference of 400,000 versus 200,000. But I don't recall having heard that Invicta was using any squirrely strategies like that. Now, Kiwi might check me after he listens to this. But in general, I recall their martial prowess being praised.
Yeah, and I think that's a nail in the coffin, really, for Haven. I think Invicta is one of the better alliances historically still on the list, even if they're not necessarily that active. Even their past history as being kind of a Pacifican lapdog, so to speak, they're considered the opposite of STA for the longest time. Sure. And both of these alliances were considered really good war alliances who were like the vanguard for their respective kind of parent alliance. So even back then, they were respected as militarily, significant forces. Of course, Invicta does have the stain of Aftermath on them, but Haven is empty, at least right now, and their only FA moves have been mostly bad.
Agreed.
So I think we both agree then that Haven would move forward.
I think so. And I mean, we did that without even getting into Invicta's real history, and I don't think we need to.
Yeah, I don't think we need to either. I think it's already...
Invicta's high highs and low lows happened in such a recent-ish span that they almost encompass the history of Haven.
Pretty much. All right, so we have managed to finish these first four alliances. I know it took some time, but we've done it, guys and girls. And so we've done a pretty banging job with our first episode segment. We might even record the next one right after this.
We might.
But this is the end of our first group of four. So this is Tevron. Goodbye.
Oh, Lostin. Ciao.